We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. All business, all the time today. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us this morning. A lot of interesting headlines to go through, from the Rep's big project downtown to what's happening at Summerfest and much, much more. We don't talk about politics a ton on this show, but without a doubt, the debate is still on everyone's mind from last night. There are economic implications, there are policy matters, and frankly, there are some emotional matters with elections that affect how we all spend our money. So, let's do two up. My observations from last night's debate.
Now, it's time for the two up on The Upswing.
First, if you follow me on X, Twitter, which you should, at Sherman Jeff, my simple questions that I wanted asked last night, I wanted each candidate to define terms. Define Republican. Define progressive. Define liberal. Define your vision for a successful America. What is it? I don't know if we got those simple questions answered, but that's okay. I asked the question maybe next time if there's another debate. Simple takeaway from the beginning of the debate, I really like the tone that the handshake set at the opening. Regardless of how you want to analyze the reactions, each and every interaction, conversation, business meeting we have should be started with a handshake. Look the person in the eye, introduce yourself, say hello, and then go about with your conversation. I really liked how that set the tone at the beginning of the debate. Next, you cannot underestimate the power of the Taylor Swift endorsement. No one can fill a room like Taylor Swift. Her next round of shows are in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets on the resale market for those shows are starting at $1,585. Her indie shows in November at Lucas Oil Stadium start at $1,977. So it's easy to see why Swift's endorsement could be a boon to either candidate, but at this point, obviously, she chose to endorse Vice President Harris. We'll see how that plays out. This from Fast Company this morning. Last fall, Taylor Swift posted a bland message to her then 272 million Instagram followers. She now has 284 million about the importance of voting in the upcoming Super Tuesday primary elections last year. That post alone got more than 35,000 registrations to vote.org. So, hey, Taylor Swift is huge. On the other side of the coin, Donald Trump has a lot of country stars and other big musicians who have endorsed him. We'll see how that all plays out. All I know is I like to follow the commerce and community of it all from an election standpoint, and I think you should too. No matter where we go with this election, let's be cordial, let's be collaborative in our political approach, and I think that's what we all need to do. I know that's what Rich Kirchen does in his each and every day in his business issues. That's why we're here, to talk about community and commerce. And when we come back, we're going to hit all the big business issues on The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Upswing Coffee Index this morning. I went with convenience, the Colectivo nearest my home, $2.70 plus the 17-cent tax, but I did the 20% app tip, which added another 57 cents. So took my coffee, my 12-ounce coffee, Rich, up to $3.44. But as I'm sure you'll agree, I got some good stories out of it because I went in, I saw Stephanie Hacker, who's the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. So I got some story ideas and content ideas from her. And across the way, I saw Brian Troyer, who's the dean of University of Admissions at Marquette. So coffee's not only about the cost of the coffee, it's about the networking and community that comes with it, right?
Absolutely. It's priceless.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. So I did the $2.70 for coffee at Collectivo with a $1 tip cash.
Oh,
man. No
wow,
app.
Big spender. All right.
And that is 57 cents on the app. But I certainly have run into people in business and throughout the community at the coffee shop. Not this morning, unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's a good benefit for sure. So there's a major downtown performing arts project that just hit its fundraising goal. The Milwaukee Rep reached its $78 million capital campaign target. What do you know about this in terms of just... The Milwaukee community always seems to rise to the occasion with these type of projects. What helped get the Rep across the finish line?
Well, they started off some time ago by announcing that Associated Bank, which is in the same sort of connected complex, the Associated Bank Center is formerly the Milwaukee Center, connected to the Rep complex. So that gave them a big name on the front end with really a naming rights sponsorship. And yeah, they said they have over 600 donors. Most recently, some big money came through from the Hack family and the Lubar family. So, they completed the campaign earlier than they thought.
Yeah.
$78 million, and that's also going to reduce the debt service that the Rep needs to go into. So, not only are they able to, they're totally revamping, well, not totally, but doing a major, major overhaul on their facilities. They got a little bit of extra money to do some other things.
That's good. So the crux of the need is simply more space and to modernize the facilities for the Rep?
That's my understanding. Yeah. Upgrading, I mean, technology and just the layout of things, what was good and functional 30 years ago or so, not today.
Yeah. So now the challenge is with any arts group is, fill in the seats. And, to your knowledge and reporters of the Business Journal, these funds are for the facilities only, not for programming and marketing. I mean, I think there's that kind of umbrella issue out there. How do you continue to fund the arts to really make each and every entity viable?
Right. The Wisconsin Policy Forum just did a big report, and The ticket sales have been decreasing pretty much across the board for the arts groups in the area. So at some point, you have to have a viable business.
Yeah, for sure. Something to keep an eye on for sure, especially as the fall arts season opens up right now. So another big gift in the community, this one to a local school. Tell us all about Keith Mardak and his wife and their latest donation, Rich.
Yeah, Keith Mardak is the former CEO of Hal Leonard on the west side of Milwaukee, which is a sheet music publishing business. It's a huge business. It's been around for a long time. And he's really become a philanthropist in recent years. Most recently, he and Mary announcing a contribution of over $5 million to the Howard Fuller Academy to finish their middle school.
Okay. Yeah, and this middle school is a 57,000-square-foot facility on 29th Street. They also made a donation to the school in 2022 that their community partners are part of it, too, including Goodwill Industries of Southeastern Wisconsin. That will hopefully be completed, the entire project, by October. The middle school will also now include a gym and a recording studio, which dovetails nicely with
yes.
the Hal Leonard,
yes.
and renovated classrooms, bathrooms, and more. And all this was according to Dr. Howard Fuller. So good to see the community stepping up to fund two big, important projects, education and the performing arts. We're all about content, community, and commerce here on the upswing. So it's good to see these wonderful things happening all around us. Coming up next, Rich, you had some great reporting on big toys and maybe a big pause in that big toy market. We'll talk about that next. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Business Headlines, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen, joins us this beautiful Wednesday. So, Rich, are we heading for a boat sales slowdown? Kind of seems we are. Bleak times for big toys. That was the headline in the Milwaukee Business Journal. I don't know if you wrote that headline or if that's a collaborative team process over there. But what's happening? It seems like, I don't know, it seems like just yesterday where you couldn't get a boat or similar toys and everything was on back order and people were like, oh, we can't get what we need. And now, times have changed a little bit.
Yeah, well, I looked at not only boats and outboard motors, but recreational vehicles, motorcycles, down to kayaks, you know. And what happened, sort of the big picture is during the pandemic, the first year or two, 2020-21, when people had limited options for what they could do with their money, one industry that did really well was all of these sort of big toys, these expensive recreational products. And if they weren't having record years, they were having great years. And like you said, there were waiting lists and people couldn't get their Harleys and their boat motors and their kayaks and their RVs quick enough. Mm-hmm. So, but what's happened now, of course, that has slowed down, maybe going back to more normal levels. But after all these companies had geared up, now they're shifting down. So I just picked out five that had an impact in our area. Harley-Davidson, obviously. And what made this jump out is we are noticing layoffs, essentially.
Right.
And Harley-Davidson is doing approximately 1 week a month layoff of its employees.
So the consumer pulling back, without a doubt, has impact on the workforce and vice versa. So each one of these retailers and companies have to find creative ways to encourage additional sales. Like you said, Harley-Davidson making some changes. What about some of the other groups? Johnson Outdoors?
Right. Well, a couple of the businesses, Johnson Outdoors and Racine and Rev Group, which is based in Brookfield that makes RVs, they said they're cutting costs, but they wouldn't say how. Mercury Marine, which has the plant in Fond du Lac, is also doing sort of like Harley with these once-a-week layoffs. BRP in Sturtevant, which makes pontoon boats, among
all
other
right.
things.
Yeah. Sea-Doo and some snowmobiles, right?
Laid off about 300 employees. Hmm. So, and the question is, how long do those layoff arrangements last? Most of them, the companies have said, well, through the end of the year, but it could go into next year.
Did you get any insight as to what companies are doing on the retail side to incur? Is it promotions? Is it just additional outreach and marketing and advertising?
A lot of them are discounting, frankly. So if you are in the market for those kinds of products, now's a good time to look. I mean, boats seasonally by August, they're already in sort of a sales mode. I did talk to one dealership where they started in July, so they started earlier. Hmm. But the same thing with kayaks and electric motors for fishing from Johnson Outdoors and the RVs also. So the discounts are happening because the inventory is sitting on their lots.
Yeah. It's always a good time to look at that type of purchase at the end of summer, but now it seems like even better. And,
yes.
You can help the local companies along the way as well. So something, again, to keep an eye on. But if you're in the market, dive right in and go buy that new boat. So one other big community item that I wanted to go over, Rich, is we're trying from a county perspective to get a domes deal done. What do you think ultimately happens with the domes? And their current kind of domes reimagined plan is at $133.4 million. What do you know here? And just give us kind of your reporter community instincts as to what happens out at the Mitchell Park Domes.
Well, obviously, this is something that's been talked about for years. I mean, just even the basic maintenance of the domes. And the county really cannot keep up just with running the joint. So,
yeah.
So there have been certainly the Friends of the Domes for years have been working on different initiatives. This by far is the most ambitious. And certainly when I saw that number, 133 million, it was eye popping.
Yeah.
And, especially on the heels of something like the rep raising $78 million. So how much money is available in the philanthropic community? Now the pullout here is that they're not looking to raise 133 million. It's more like 35 million, which seems like an attainable number. Then they're looking for the county to put in some money. They're hoping to get some federal grants. So, it's possible, I don't know what the odds are of getting the federal grants, for example, and the county finances are strapped at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of partners at the table and there's still a lot of things to be figured out, but at least there's a good plan on the table that everyone seems to be kind of rallying around to get done. You know, then you gotta fill the place too. Like, and we'll talk about this after the break about the new plans at Summerfest. If you continue to put money into the amphitheater, you got to continue to sell tickets and draw people to the lakefront to get people engaged with the entity. And the Domes has that same challenge. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Always a fast and furious look at business headlines around the entire state, but mainly metropolitan Milwaukee this morning. So, Rich, in terms of DEI, your reporting on the Corporate Equity Index shows a solid representation from Wisconsin employers, for sure. What's this index all about?
There's an organization called the Human Rights Campaign, which for the last 20 years has been compiling an index of corporate America, of large employers, and how this organization sets certain benchmarks, certain things they're looking at in terms of what these companies are doing to make their workplaces LGBTQ friendly, and sort of extending to consumers policies, practices, benefits that are pertinent to the LGBTQ community. So this was in the news lately because both Molson Coors and Harley Davidson dropped out of that program, stopped participating in that while dropping their DEI policies.
Yeah. So in terms of the companies participating in this index, is this a mandatory thing that companies participate in, or how does that work?
It's voluntary.
Okay.
They invite all of the Fortune 1000 companies, and then they say that about 75% of the Fortune 500 do fill out a survey and participate. And then the foundation puts out this report every year of companies with a score of 100, and it turns out there are a lot of them in our area, larger companies like Associated Bank, Kohler, Johnson Controls, SC Johnson, Rockwell, Northwestern Mutual, getting the highest scores, but then others that are 90% or more, like Fiserv, Kohl's, Aurora, Freighter.
Hmm. And getting the higher scores, obviously good for recruitment and retention and just showcasing the initiatives of the organizations, for sure.
Right. That's why they participate.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Good to see our local companies scoring well in that index, for sure. Let's go to A. O. Smith a little bit in terms of your reporting for a little bit of a shift from some of their employees. They have, new jobs, but they're moving where?
Juarez, Mexico.
Juarez,
right,
Mexico.
Across from El Paso, Texas, which is a huge hub for American manufacturers that are in Mexico, frankly, for the lower wages, but also the access to the U.S. market rather than getting supplies from China, for example. But A. O. Smith has been in Mexico for a long time. The news this week is they're getting ready this fall to open a new plant. It's the third plant that they have at their Juarez complex with 300 new employees ultimately. A. O. Smith has not done manufacturing in Milwaukee since 1997 when they sold their automotive business to Tower Automotive. The plant, and that plant closed a long time ago. They do still have at least a dozen plants in the U.S. making water heaters and other products, but it's telling that they're expanding in Mexico. They are also investing right now in a plant in South Carolina.
And they still have, what, about 100 employees at their Park Place headquarters on Milwaukee's far northwest side, and then another 50 at the Lloyd R. Smith Corporate Technology Center, which is just adjacent to that parcel. So still 150 managerial employees in the area.
Yeah, white-collar professional employees.
All right. Well, speaking of white-collar managerial employees, when we come back, tech talent seems to be lagging in the market. Milwaukee's metropolitan area not scoring really well in a new survey around technology. We'll look into that with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing Business Headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. From A.O. Smith, just quickly, to Alice Chalmers, the old Alice Chalmers campus in West Allis, Wisconsin. Business Journal reporting has Steel Solutions, which last year moved its headquarters to the former Bucyrus Erie campus in South Milwaukee, said on Tuesday that it's going to opened a tech center on the former campus of another legacy Milwaukee area manufacturing firm, that is Alice Chalmers campus in West Allis. So keep an eye on that. Steel Solutions new tech center right on Washington Street there in Summit Place, kind of a part of that whole adaptive reuse project at the West Alice Chalmers location. The space has a technical innovation center, kind of full design, project management teams, department for finance and HR and supply chain. Good to see kind of a reuse of the historic manufacturing spaces with companies that continue to grow in the area. Speaking of continuing to grow, Rich, it's always good to keep an eye on the technology scene in the area. And a new survey out shows that, you know, tech talent, you know, continues to lag in the metropolitan Milwaukee area.
Yeah, well, it's from CBRE, which is a major commercial real estate broker, and they keep track of office space, basically, and technology is a big category for them. Milwaukee slipped a notch from 48th to 49th in tech talent, but we were discussing, Milwaukee's approximately the 40th or low 40s nationally in terms of metro size, so we under-index a little bit.
Yeah,
CBRE says that there was a 2.5% increase in tech talent here the last 4 years, so there's something to be said for that. Madison, on the other hand, also, actually, they were down a tad, but Madison over-indexes for the size of their market.
Hmm. Well, in terms of what can be done to grow the technology base, whether it's from our own with our college students and two-year degree programs, what are some of the initiatives that are happening at some of the technical colleges?
Yeah, well, Waukesha County Technical Institute in Pewaukee is doing programs. Obviously, you have getting more of the associate degree type level tech talent, which is necessary, as well as the bachelor's and graduate level. Clearly, MSOE always has been a major player in that market, UWM, other universities in the area. But yeah, then you have to recruit talent. I mean, they recruit talent all the time, companies that need tech talent from around the U.S. and internationally.
Yeah, and I mean, looking to kind of train that future of the AI workforce, whether it's manufacturing or not. I mean, WTC-CTC and its applied AI lab is could be a really good economic driver for the region. Wisconsin Center for AI Development and Implementation out there. You know, it's good to have those programs available, again, not only for kids who are coming out of high school here, but for people that want to move to the market. You know, Milwaukee and greater Milwaukee's really, we are a college town. And there's a lot of colleges and universities and two-year programs that people can tap into that can grow that technology talent.
And there's a lot of technology here. It's not like Silicon Valley where you just have a straight-up tech company. Well, we do have the financial technology companies like Fiserv and FIS, But almost every manufacturer is a technology company, and they need engineers and they need computer software people. So there's a lot of technology here that maybe isn't that visible.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, the downtown city center on Milwaukee's Riverwalk was sold for $17.44 million. It includes a Gold's Gym, but that Gold's Gym is going to become a new private club with some new amenities. I want to get your take on kind of, hey, how can the market absorb another club in downtown Milwaukee? There's a new national pizza chain in the market, and we'll preview tonight's downtown Milwaukee night market a little bit. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us on The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Tonight is the final Milwaukee night market of the season. It's college night. All the colleges and universities coming back to downtown Milwaukee. The headliner is DJ Shauna from your Milwaukee Bucks and much, much more. To end the show, we'll hear a little bit from DJ Shauna as she talked to WTMJ's Sandy Max yesterday. But first, Rich, the Gold's Gym inside the city center building was just sold. And a lot of the reporting says the Gold's Gym may be turned into another private club for downtown Milwaukee. What are your thoughts there in terms of the market being able to absorb that?
Well, there are questions even when Gold's opened their gym there on Water Street as to whether just another athletic club downtown that was a membership kind of thing like the Wisconsin Athletic Club or the Y. The Y no longer exists downtown. The WAC is still there. But, this is a different model, and it sort of seems like it creeps into that space where the Milwaukee Athletic Club has a membership. It's obviously a bigger deal. It's more than just about the athletics there. But that's just a block away. So, I mean, that's competing on one side. On the other side, it is like, well, Wisconsin Athletic Club also maybe three blocks away. So they're trying to – it's almost sounds like a new niche that they're talking about, sort of a hybrid. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a tough sell, and I don't know how many of the Gold's members, because that was a fairly inexpensive membership, right, are going to transition to the new concept.
Yeah, I mean, well, it would be interesting to keep an eye on if you can reimagine it a little bit. Maybe you capture both those audiences with some upgrades. I don't know, but you know, new owners from Chicago are definitely going to make additional investments in that building. So a new Marco's Pizza restaurant could open soon on Milwaukee's northwest side. The occupancy permit was filed in Milwaukee for, I think, is 7335 West Good Hope Road. What are you doing about Marco's? Because I'm doing some research. There's a lot of Marco's pizzas in Milwaukee, right? But this is the national pizza chain.
Right. Yeah. So for those of us who grew up on the west side or northwest side of Milwaukee, it is sort of a head scratcher because there is a Marco's Pizza carry out and delivery only on 84th and Lisbon. Just a Milwaukee classic. They used to be in Sherman Park neighborhood where I grew up. They have a location in Oak Creek as well. So Marco's is, like, for decades established as a neighborhood pizza joint in Milwaukee. And now there is this national chain that's expanding into our market and other places, also called Marco's Pizza. So,
all right.
So we'll see, you know, right. So they're going to have this as a location further out on the northwest side.
Kind of by that Eline soccer field, right?
Yeah. So a major intersection, 76 and Good Hope right there. Somewhat different market than 84th and Lisbon, further, you know, different neighborhoods. So there's not a direct conflict there.
Right.
But, it could be confusing to Milwaukee consumers, especially in that part of the city.
I think the national Marco's is kind of in line with a Domino's or a Little Caesars. That's kind of my impression of
yes.
what the menu is all about. All right. Tonight is the final Milwaukee night market from 5 to 10, right outside the Good Karma WTMJ studios. Sandy Max from What's on Tap caught up with the headliner from tonight's event, DJ Shauna, to give her impressions of what the night market's all about. Again, it runs 5 to 10 tonight. Come on down. It's a wonderful event. You really get to see that interaction of, whoa, there's the 64-year-old CEO walking down Wisconsin Avenue. There's the 14-year-old. People coming together for commerce and community right here in the heart of downtown Milwaukee.
the last Milwaukee night market of the season. And you know it's going to be a special event when DJ Shauna is going to be there. And she is on with us right now on What's on Tap. How are you doing?
I'm amazing. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm holding on to summer as much as I can, just as much as you.
Well, and you're going to be making it a special summer night tomorrow. Now, when you are asked, oh, you're going to play Milwaukee Night Market. Yeah, what is that? I don't know about it. How do you describe it to other people who haven't been yet?
Like a farmer's market with food vendors, but also art. It's in the heart of the city. And I'm going to quote Milwaukee downtown and talk about the pulse of the city and everything that starts there.
And it's a lot of smiles. This is the first year I've gone, and it's been happening for 10 years, and I'm embarrassed that this is finally the first year I've gone. But it is. It's a huge block party on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yep.
I say huge, though, but it's really like a two-block, kind of a three-block span from Velar Phillips Plaza, which is brand new and worth coming down just to see that new beautiful space, down to Second Street. And, yeah, so it's a lot of smiles and a lot of people, and I think with summer weather and you are DJing at 8 o'clock.
I'm very grateful to be a part of it. It's, you know, one of those things as a DJ you put on your list if you're in Milwaukee. Like, I want to do that. People are there, and they want to have a good time, and there's beautiful weather, and there's amazing food, and like you said, all these smiles, and I would love to DJ for all of those people.